The footage of
Dribbling. Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
The Gem, the newest and most exciting prize and rewards program. The Gem is giving away even more. TheGem.com.
This is the Sunday Rub.
Farine Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, what a massive game it is on a Sunday. Richmond up against Brisbane from the MCG. Richmond have won 9 games this year. 8 of those have been at the MCG. They love playing here, and the Brisbane Lions haven't won for a long, long time. So we've got a big show coming up. Lachie Neal, potential Brownlow medalist. He'll be out there today. We're going to have our chat to him. Ross's man, Andrew McQualter. We're going to talk to him about all things coaching. And Ross, of course. And this is for the Gem, Triple M Sunday Rub. We've got so much to get through. So much to get through. And I'm going to go around the box because there's superstars everywhere in here. I'm going to start with the man who coached
St. Sounds like Ross's day, doesn't it? And Lachie Neal, geez,
the boss, Lion.
Said get rid of your fat little ass and... look, he become a superstar of the competition, hey? So yeah, very excited about today.
So what did you tell him? Just to...
well, so he didn't have a great summer. He come back, and I know he's coming on. Lachie, we love Lachie, and I said, mate, I can't remember the exact quote.
But... he said, take the pumpkin off your head.
You think
he was Robert Harvey? Did you say something? You think you're Robert Harvey?
Well, he had the calves, right? He had banger, and he was going really well, the kid, but. It was a little bit. You end up a fat little Ford pocket plane in the NFL. So, look, he's a wonderful human being. But I'm fascinated to have a chat to him today. What's the edge they're missing to get it done in finals at home? And why are you 0-12?
And
one out of the last 12 of the MCG. I want to know. 8 of them under Fagan. They need to lift today.
And some have obviously got some of that feedback from Ross as well as Jay-Z.
Yes, nice and felt. Now, that was the latest arrival I've ever seen for us. I've been doing this for 6 years. Now, no one has arrived later for the Ross Lyon.
Perfect timing.
10 seconds before we went on air.
Wasn't late.
But well, we liked it. Well, Ducks here 40 minutes every week.
It's Alan Jones, isn't it? The guy in Sydney, the rugby league coach. When he does a public talk, he walks on, doesn't introduce himself, does a talk and walks off. Just leaves impact. I'm the impactful guy.
Certainly are.
Did you have the car pass underneath today?
I did. Now, that was my era. I owe Ewan Giles, who I formerly called Ewan McKenzie after the great Wallaby, an apology because... is it the Northern Stand entrance gate? I thought that was the Southern Stand we're coming in under. So I was a bit confused. I'm not very widely read. I'm just a footy guy.
Lee Montagna, fresh off calling the biggest moment of the year so far last year with Jamie Elliott. Kicked the goal. Well done, Lee.
Thank you, Brownie. We haven't cut bread on that one yet. We might do break bread. We haven't done that yet. But I just look out there. Look at Chris Fagan just here at the MCG. There's no one here yet. There's some pigeons out on the ground. And Chris Fagan just got his hands in his pockets, just pondering, how can we manufacture a win at the MCG? He's walking up
and
down.
He's thinking,
if I go 112, the media's going to slaughter me.
Yep.
There he is. Look at him.
Deep in thought out there, and a man who... He's not often deep in thought as Wayne Carey.
Well, actually, where he's walking, I dominated. On this ground.
That was King's Court.
Walking up and down the MCG. So they have track walkers in racing. So jockeys and trainers, they pay these people to walk the track. And they go, okay, where do we stay away from? What do we do? Maybe he's out there at the moment just walking the track. You go back in, you say, look, Charlie, this is where you stay away from today. This is where you get your money from. This is you, Charlie. Just the flanks. Don't worry about that centre half.
Grimes, he's going to follow you into the toilets today, Charlie. You better be ready. But he is a fanatical walker, isn't he? He goes on his two-hour walks.
I'm not sure
he's got time to do two-hour walks, by the way.
I'm not sure he's giving that sort of feedback.
Oh, why isn't he, Doug?
Well, I'm not sure he was a whippy little Ford pocket like Charlie Cameron is.
You've got to elaborate to all the players.
Well, I remember when not an apology. I caught up with the Players Association during the week.
Fonzie, you were wrong.
And an ex-teammate of mine, Tim Harrington, who is at the Players Association, and by the way, went very well, and I found out a little bit more about what they do behind the scenes that I wasn't aware of, or
you've been many
simply wasn't aware of.
Like
and I thought, no.
You've been got
and,
to.
No.
We've got the duck.
Stand by.
How much are you getting?
offended by some of the things that I said, but I was also unaware of a lot of stuff that they do behind closed doors.
Have some heavy.
And I was also unaware that Tim
Jade King might have just made a visit.
I said to Tim because Tim was at North when I was there, and I said to Tim, "Were you there? Because we've got our reunion next week." I said, "Were you there in '96?" He goes. Yeah, he goes, I was your forwards coach.
I
was a forwards coach for 3 years. I didn't
know. Your arrogance knows no bounds.
I said, are you serious? I said, I don't remember that. He said, well, I don't remember having to give you too much information.
Well, you know what? To put a full stop in that, it's great that they're now covering your operation.
Yes.
Only reason you went and saw them? So you get your shoulder done.
Not at all. It wasn't about me. It was about having a better understanding about what they do, yeah. and understanding the fact that why they don't speak up on a lot of different issues because there are a lot of issues that players want, you know, kept private. So there are a lot of conversations, I'm sure. That are had that we just don't hear from it. And they were correct in saying this. And this is what they did get right. They said, generally, the people that you would have gone around and asked, like tossers like Brownie and Jones and Rui and all of these ex-players that are in the box, all on big money, and all these guys. He goes, those guys probably aren't the ones ringing us up. Or needing our help, it's others that do. So that was probably obvious. But I did say, look, I should have given you a call. And they said, "Is that an apology?" No, was it half a?
Oh, it's almost game time now.
You would have kept them pretty busy.
You know what, Brownie? I've noticed with you, you did this to TJ on the footy show this morning. I thought it was terribly rude, given that he was the host.
You came in and liked it.
Given the host.
Five minutes ago.
And you cut him off. No, I felt terribly embarrassed for him. I did. So I'm going to ring him, actually, and let him know that you probably need a break.
Sounds like a cover-off to me. Hey, well done last week, Joey. We must talk about the fact that you called the pants off the last goal of the game. And I've copped some good feedback from everybody thinking that I'd back the Bombers last week.
You haven't received it all, Brownie. There's more to come.
There's more to come, is there? Ross, you got some feedback?
We've got some feedback for you. Yeah. You better enjoy your teammates' moments.
Celebrate
you
the
sat
win.
There like there'd been a death
didn't
in the
he?
Family.
Was
like,
not even a grin.
Yeah, nothing.
No, I had a smile on my face.
Yeah, but you can't tell because you've got that much Botox.
That's my problem.
Can we back over? Can you cover it off? Because I was thinking, you know, did he have a big multi going? You know, he missed out. It was like, bombers. Joey got the special moment. Or Duck and I were, in fact, talking over everybody.
Well, we did get the memo last week. We got the email to say don't talk over in the big moments. And there's no bigger moment than that last week, Collingwood. And no bigger moment than kicking goal after the siren. And I thought that maybe there was a couple of times where, let's listen to it. Who are we going to listen to first? We're going to listen to Ross or we're going to listen to Duck first?
A point won't be enough.
So he can't play on.
It has to be a goal.
If he plays on, it'll be after the siren.
What's Ramsey, his history?
Ramsey's
What's
nervous.
His history,
Look
Drew? 65% converter.
He's going to kick this. He's going to cross the junction of the boundary line.
Comes
and the
slightly out
line.
To his right.
The siren will go. The kick is on the line. You are kidding me. The Pies have done it again.
I didn't realise how much there was coming over the top from both of them.
Ross, he can't play on accident scoop.
Brownie, no one else said it. The caller probably should have been.
Yeah, well, that's
because
the point,
that's
our
exactly
moment,
the point. Because
really.
if he'd taken one step out, and he didn't hear the siren, by the way, he said that after the game. So if he'd taken one step out, it would have been play on. He doesn't kick the goal. But I think that's what the caller should have been saying.
He's giving you feedback.
And I thought I just had to chime in and say it.
Yeah. I think you're spot on, Doug. Yeah, you know, they talk about disruption in industries. It's been done a certain way for a long time, radio and footy radio. I think we're at the cutting edge, coming over the top with our expertise.
Geez, you were loud, Ross.
Thank you. And excited and loved the game and passion. Correct. That's the feedback I got. And it was Brown. He was just ice cold.
I loved it on the inside. Yeah, I did.
How did you feel in the moment, Brandy? Because when you, it's a special moment, and it's sort of, it's a bit of a flip of the coin who gets to call the main moment. You're okay, sort of passing the baton.
Absolutely. I called the point, and there's a few people around callers who'll call a point and then call a kick out as well when they understand that something might be coming up. But happy to hand it off to Joey, who did a great job. But I've got to remember those cameras there, because I looked at that and I showed Christina Sunday night when we got home. She goes, "You look terrible."
But I went through the same thing a few weeks ago. I think it was the Collingwood Hawthorn game here at the G. You had the final play. Collingwood won by 4 points. And same thing, I didn't have a smile on my face. And boy, did I cop the feedback. Salty about 2010. Mm. You don't like the pies. Got all that feedback. So, right. Again, I've
Because they're it. Deep thinkers, the people they, giving you that they feedback.
You got caught deep in thought yesterday, Duck, with BT. So he might have tricked you yesterday to think that you might have been on air. So let's have a listen.
Yes, and welcome back to Triple M Football. Wayne Carey, your thoughts on the first half so far?
Good half of footy, BT. Thanks for just
shocking. And guys, 30 seconds, you shot it down if you can.
You're an idiot.
You threw me too. I'm thinking, just did I miss the cue there?
You're in an ad break.
Yeah, he got me. I was just daydreaming. And he just, anyway, BT got a good laugh out of it.
And I love special comments, guys, and I also love the boundary line guys. When they go down, they do their job. And at least some people go with something. Like, you got to have the courage to go with something. You got to stand behind something, Ross. And I thought, our man here, Jay-Z, but before we get to Jay-Z, this is Tom Brown a few weeks ago. Now, Tom Brown got it completely wrong, but I was happy he put himself in the game when Paddy Ryder got injured.
And what's happening with Paddy Ryder, Bob Jones style, Brownie?
I think there was some collarbone concerns at one point, but I'll just get an update from St Kilda for you shortly, Howie.
Get back down to ground level, Tommy Brown, Bob Jones team arts.
Does I can firmly report that he's having his left calf iced, which is a fair way from his collarbone.
At least he's gone for something. So he's gone the collarbone, and then it's actually the left calf. So I'm happy with Tom Brown. Courage to go, put your head over the ball, and you cop what comes. Not our man Jay-Z, though. So when he got crossed two yesterday, he just went to water.
And let's get downstairs to Jay-Z for Bob Jane T. Marks.
BT Port's Darcy Byrne-Jones rolled his ankle on the outer side a couple of minutes ago. He's gone downstairs for treatment. Copped a couple of Panadol or taken some. Hopefully just a restrapping.
Just having a little trouble getting his words together down there, Jay-Z.
Did he cut himself off then?
I don't think there are any technical problems. I just think he had a dose of the gibberish.
Just gave up.
You turned your pack off. You turned your pack off on purpose, I'm told.
And to be honest, I think it was fair enough. Being unable to say, taking some Panadol, I thought I should just drop right out. So, yeah, that was pretty poor.
You crumbled on the big stage.
I did, yeah. Not on my own, though, Ross.
Generally, too, those tablets, they're a bit stronger than Panadol.
Well, I did.
Say, just for your own. For your own.
Well, I was just trying to lighten it a little
bit. Toradols, pre-surgery.
A bit stronger anti-inflammatory.
I didn't want to say sort of rhinoceros tranquilizers. which is sometimes what they are.
Yeah. Very good.
Oh, very good, Brandon.
So you're looking at me now, eh? I've just brought all the content. You're looking at me again.
Well, you're the host.
That's a very good point.
First break, Tom.
We're going to go to break in a minute, but just quickly.
Can I just quickly?
You go. Well, that would have been good. 30
sorry. But last night, there was something. I should have jumped in.
I spit at it.
Last night, they were the crankiest coach press conferences I've seen in some time. There was the coach has got a dose of the crankies yesterday and last night. So I want to talk about that a little bit later. But traditionally, he's the journal. Like sometimes he should.
Who? We can name find names. I haven't watched it.
We're going to do it.
Name names.
We'll get to that, Ross.
So the coach pressure index. Bang.
Up.
The tacos.
Yes.
Redlining.
With a big smile on your face.
I love it. Normally I have it as, put me to sleep. You know, what's a coach's press conference? But yeah, I missed something special.
Yeah, there was a bit of feeling in it last night.
Oh, let me guess.
Those are the crankies.
So you're getting it. No one better to ask than Mr. Cranky himself.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Wasn't Vossi and Bevo, was it?
Well, we'll get to that. And traditionally, sort of, my sphincter would tighten a little bit when you're in the press conference. And you sort of feel the nervous energy. Now I sort of love this sort of stuff. So I'll ask you about the crankiness a little bit later.
So you haven't been – a phone call hasn't come from North Melbourne yet, has it, to you?
Well, we've put all that
– But it hasn't.
Are we going to a break?
Yeah, we are going to go to a break. But
they're all in Clarko. Clarko's all in on GWS. He's in on North.
Really?
We are going to head to a break.
Really?
The biggest names, the biggest games.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Oh, I love the footy yesterday and last night. It's fair to say. Big story at the MCG with Jack Ginnivan and Collingwood, 10 straight when they play Melbourne on Friday night. We'll get to that. And then the Bulldogs giving up a 28-point lead. Duck, you were there. Joey, you were there as well. We'll get to that in a second as the Cats won again. Patrick Dangerfield, outstanding. But this was the twist no one saw coming last night in Adelaide. We're a Carlton team. We've been pumping them up all season. Drop Jack Silvani, go with a taller side, and they were absolutely outworked, out-hunted, out-desired, if that's such a thing, last night in that
clash
against the Adelaide Crows. Let's get Michael Voss's take on it, and it leaves the Blues' finals hopes in jeopardy. It's going to be an interesting run home, but Michael Voss was very blunt about the hunger last night.
I'd probably start with the desire of both teams. They just had a greater desire than us, and there's not too many games where we've walked away this year and lost the ground ball number that we had today. There's not too many games where contested possession where we've been on the negative side of things. So you know, that effort, work rate, outnumber, winning contest, that's got to be the cornerstone of your game every time you play.
Geez, it was a big team with Pitney, De Koning, Mackay, Kerno, Silvani as well. But do you get in the room afterwards, Ross, and you ask the question, did you blokes think up, come to Adelaide last night, thinking you'd roll the team down the bottom end of the ladder? Because it is a tough run home for the
Blues. The absolute truth. The first question I ask is to myself and my coaching panel, did we start the preparation in the review for Adelaide? Because I mean, you can ask the next question to Joe and say, what was Ross like? And I thought about it last night, like Western Bulldogs Geelong, I'd be relaxed. I'd just go, we've got to do this, because you know they'd be tuned in. Human nature, we're comfortable. Adelaide, they've had some terrible performances. So that mental game, I think, get Wayne and Joey to talk, I'd be starting with myself. Ultimately, it's the players, but you've got to start. We know it's an above-the-shoulders game because it's 22 weeks. You got to get them in a frame of mind by the time the balls bounce that their desire is at the level you want it to be. And in those games, that's the question I would ask. I wouldn't go to the players.
100%. Ross was always more on edge and sharper with us against the teams that we should have beaten than we were against coming up against the top teams. Always Ross was on edge. He'd walk around the rooms. He'd just notice if anyone was just being a bit complacent pre-game, just taking the foot off the pedal. Always did that and sharpened us up because he just knew that we needed a bit more of an edge to get ourselves the stimulator to the level we need to be when we were playing teams that we felt we should have beaten.
Did they get too clever for themselves by dropping Silvani? I know he came back on as the Medi sub, but most people think he probably shouldn't, but are they trying to manufacture something?
I'm close to that, right? Because Stephen, I'll declare my interest. Stephen and the sort of very good friends of mine, and I admire Jack and what he's done, and we've all watched this year. So what's he? And we had the conversation. I was like, well, you know what? I respect that they're trying to get better as a coaching group, and you can see the theory. Three talls, but have you got the ground level? Where does Jack fit? But what I said, well, they'll get an understanding of appreciation of Jack, what he brings to the dynamic when he's not there. So they might blossom or they mightn't. So
They had to have a look.
Me, like left field, I'd go, you're a tall defender, short. McGovern's come back in. De Koning, if you want him both, he could go to centre-half back and play like his brother because he's that athletic and it's easier to play down there. But that's just left field thinking. I don't think it was wrong what they did and Jack come on. But stuff got thrown at them as a coaching group, which is, we can get to hitch your wagon, but that Saad got keys, a bit of left field, and Nick's learnt off when Mitchell. The Hawks did it to, to Dawson. Yep. So I don't mind what – I don't think that was the issue. A few of their best players were. But it was the mental battle they lost. So they can cut it and paste it
out-hunted.
Any way they like. And Ducks led great teams. So and Carlton aren't a great team. That's the other thing. If they're a bit off, they come back to the field quick.
Yeah, no, I agree with what Joey said. That's what Dennis Pagan was like when we came up against a side that was we expected to beat. He was way harder, and so you knew that you had to be on for that particular game. And then he knew that if there was a big game, he didn't have to do as much work.
Yeah, and I'd call it the glow of success, right? So you've won a lot in a row, and everyone's feeling good. And then it's not a conscious decision. It happens the insidious creep, and it becomes most people most times. But when you're watching the really good teams, it's everyone every time nearly, you know. So Carlton aren't good enough for most people most times. They need all people every time.
And you know the other thing that happens? You start to get a few players back. So all of a sudden the saviours, you see, you get an extra tall back. McGovern's back in the team. Oh, we're automatically
just a little.
We're automatically a better team. I think that's a trap that a lot of young teams that haven't played a lot of footy, they can fall into that, thinking it's just going to happen. And isn't it funny how it was only a few weeks ago, Joe, you and I had a conversation. I don't know whether it was on air or off air, but we're talking about a few of these players. So Bruce was going to come back into the Bulldogs and automatically make them a better team. Now, look, he's obviously hasn't got a lot of the ball. He's struggling a little bit. Does he make them structurally better? Yes, but he's got to get more of the pill. McGovern's come back into Carlton. He wasn't setting the world on fire before he left, but everyone was saying when he was out, oh, when we get him back, it's going to make a huge difference.
And Carlton
it's never going to make a huge difference.
And Carlton haven't had a fully balanced game in all facets of the game. They've been contested ball, stoppage, score prevalent. Their turnover game over the course of the year hasn't been that strong. And what happened last night? Adelaide destroyed them on turnover scores. It was 14-6.
How brutal too.
But and that's the trend of the year if you drill in.
What'll be interesting to see if Carlton go with it again and try it one more time, the three tall forwards, because that could be an X factor in finals, but they've got to find out whether it's working for them.
You've got to mark it. You've got to, if you're not marking, you're no good.
That's right.
Simple.
And or have ground level play in your...
Yeah, correct.
The Tours had no impact. There's injury worries. Newman out. Hewitt's out with a back concussion issue for Kennedy. And by the way, it's caravan, Ross. Hitch your caravan. You keep saying wagon. It's round 20.
Oh, sorry.
Hitch your caravan. Brandy.
I got what? Okay,
hang on. Carlton the vulnerable here. We've got to get to a break, Ross.
I was going to come back.
Carlton, it's next three games. They've got Brisbane up at the Gabba, Melbourne at the MCG, in an absolute blockbuster that could genuinely draw 80 to 85,000 in round 23 with finals berths on the line. Potentially top four for Collingwood.
And you have to win one.
Top eight for Carlton. Which is the one they are most likely to win?
Well, it doesn't
Carlton.
Matter.
And
they'll
that's our game, by the way.
They'll win one of them.
Well, which is
it? They'll win one of them.
Brisbane, Melbourne, or Collingwood?
Brisbane or Collingwood.
Well, I don't think they're certain, Joey.
They'll win one. They'll win one of their last three. Don't worry.
They could lose all three, and they could win all three too.
Duck.
I think it comes down to...
Brilliant insight, Duck.
I'm not that worried about
them. I have confidence that their best footy is good enough against the best. So everyone's saying, oh, they might pinch one, mate. Yeah. They might win all three.
Yeah. I'm not as worried about the Blues, what I am about Chris Fagan. He's still walking up and down the ground.
Look at him.
As we see at the MCG, he looks disconsolate.
In the words
he's
of the
planning
great,
something massive, I think, today.
In the words of the great Rob Butters, senior coaching takes grown men to places they should never go.
Look at him.
He's 26 minutes he's been walking around the MCG.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
And Seagull's gone through the protective area.
Yeah. Triple M rocks footy.
This is a massive game, but we're going to talk about the game a little bit later. But Richmond have won eight of their nine games this year at the MCG. They get Tom Lynch back. It's just a must-win game for them to play finals. Otherwise, you've got to put a line through them.
Yeah, huge, isn't it? And for Brisbane, top four. And credibility for finals played at Melbourne. Whether they like it or not, it's on the table.
Duck, if they can't get it done today, Brisbane, and they lose again at the MCG, do you think they can win the flag?
It's a concern. Yeah. I get the feeling that they're going to flex their muscles today and show the competition. So we're seeing sides. Sydney's jumped out of the ground. We're all of a sudden thinking they can win it. I think they can, certainly in the form they're in right now. We know Geelong. We know Melbourne. Is this the next team? Is this the other team team that we're talking about that can pinch a flag.
I'll ask you a quick question before Lachie Neale. So Collingwood have now won 10 in a row, yeah. But there's still doubts over whether Melbourne can go all the way. Any other team that's won 10 in a row at this time of the year we'd be talking about as premiership credentials.
Who, yeah, Collingwood?
They've won them all by less than a kick or less than two kicks. That's why we're not. Did you know when they started this run, they're 103. Their percentage was 103. At the end of the run, it's 106. They've gone up 3% with 10 wins in a row.
It's not a convincing 10.
It's not.
Brownie, just watching, we saw Chris Fagan pacing the MCG. Trent Cotchin's been out there on his own.
You can use that on first
for a little while. Do you think Trent Cotchin plays on next season?
I think, depending on what they do in finals, I think Trent Cotchin's had a wonderful career. He's probably slowed down a little bit this year. I wouldn't count him out of playing next year, but I'd be leaning towards more not. I think other midfielders need to come through and take the mantle at Richmond.
How old is he?
31 off the top of my head, but I'll check that.
It's always good to get a player pre-game, and what a player this man is. He's won a Brownlow medal. He's a star. He was under Ross Lyon there for a while, and we'll get into that. But Lachie Neale, welcome to the Sunday Rub. We've just been watching your coach wander up and down the middle of the MCG for the last 20 minutes on his own. Why does he do that, do you know?
He does it every day. I think he averages about 12 Ks of walking a day, and I'm not actually exaggerating. He actually does that, so... If you're ever in Brisbane and you want to catch up with him, just go to Bulimba and he'll be walking around the streets in that suburb.
So maybe that's what Ross, you needed to do back in the day, just a bit more walking.
Well, now I've had my knee replacement and I can actually walk. I do walk a little bit more.
It's a slow walk, though. Must be Fags. Fags' walk was very, very slow. Hey, Lachie, what's been the conversation leading up to today's game? I know externally there's a lot of chat about your MCG form. Have you touched on it internally, or is it the old Ross Lyon mantra, anywhere, anytime?
Yeah, we're trying to adopt a little bit of that. But to be honest, the talk's been more about Richmond. We're playing Richmond. We're not playing against the MCG. We're playing against a pretty formidable opponent in Richmond who have got a lot on the line, as do we. So that's been most of the talk. We touched on it early in the week that we weren't going to talk about it, basically, and that the talk is we're playing Richmond.
Hey, Lachie, what about your connection with your forwards? When I look at Brisbane, and we were sitting up here just a minute ago talking about your credentials for, you know, maybe winning a flag this year, you've got all the big guns up there. You've got all the firepower up there. What isn't quite clicking for you in the forward half of the ground?
We're number one offence, aren't we?
Yeah, you are.
No, I think we're...
But 105 points, look.
So why do we have doubt when, you know, Danaher or McStayer or Hipwood don't fire all of... If you all fight on the one day, you win the flag by 10 goals.
I get it. And I think our mantra has always been that each forward's probably going to get their turn throughout the season. I think early in the year, Joe was playing really well. As of late, it's probably been more so the smalls. So Charlie's had an exceptional 6-7 weeks. Zach Bailey's had his moments up front as well, Link McCarthy. So on any given day, we feel like we're really dangerous, probably the most dangerous forward line. So not every week guys are going to kick 4 or 5. So there's not going to be 5 guys kick 5. That's just impossible. So that's sort of been our mantra. And the forward line up there, they're trying to be really selfless and bring teammates into it. We've got some mids that kick goals. Huey McCluggage has had a lot of shots. So we sort of feel like there's a good mix down there. Maybe at times our connection and our entries haven't been to our forwards' advantage, which is something that we've been working on probably the last 2 or 3 months to try and get better at that. So hopefully you see some more kicks to advantage today.
We've been talking internally in here before you came on about the barometer, and when he played well last week, I think Duck gave him votes in the game last week. It seems to us that when he does play, he actually is the barometer, and Brisbane play a good brand of footy.
He's self-labelled himself. That's unbelievable. But he just brings so much energy to us as a club in general. So even though he's been toiling away in the twos and playing some great footy there, he brings such a energetic vibe to the group. Throughout the week, he's been emergency a lot of times, so he's around the group and he's come in, and you've seen that the last couple of games. I thought his game against GWS, he was almost our best player, other than I think Huey kicked 4, but Reece was unbelievable around the contest, and he just brings such a vibrant attitude that is really sort of contagious to our group. So it's great to have him in the side.
Could be the best nickname in the AFL, Brownie, the barometer. I absolutely love it. Hey, Lachie, congratulations on the new deal. You're obviously a big talking point coming into last year's trade period. And then even though you weren't out of contract this year, you made the early agreement, which just put all the talk and speculation and rumour to bed, because it did fire up a little bit there when I think Peter Sumich said that you're out or something like that again. But you've inked the three-year contract extension. Can you just talk us through that decision-making? Because obviously for a little bit there last season, you know, there was something on your mind.
Yeah, our great mate Sumo, he was on the on the money there, wasn't he?
You don't get it wrong, mate.
it was a pretty easy decision for me. Obviously, last year I went through a bit of a process deciding what my future looked like, and that was more lifestyle for me. COVID has been difficult on everyone, and I'm included in that, and Jules and her family as well, and we set up a pretty good base in Perth, and the decision really was, do we want to get back and be closer to family support? Had a child on the way, and in the end, we decided the best option for us was to stay in Brizzy for the foreseeable future. And I've got another 4 years after this one where we'll definitely be in Brisbane, and then who knows after that. I think I'll be 33, so I might be done by then.
You'll have a bit left in your Lockie. Now, let's get to the chase, because before you came up here on air, Ross just told us that he made you. He made you. He said he saved your career from being a little fat forward pocket and turned you into a Brownlow medalist. What are some of your fond memories of Ross Lyon, how he made you the footballer?
he did make me the footballer, absolutely. I'm happy for Ross to take credit there. And he's
I've taken heaps, look. Biggest regret in footy didn't start him in the 13 grand final.
I know you told us that the other biggest week.
Multiple times. That's all right. Some great memories, and probably one that springs to mind out here on the MCG was my 100th game against Richmond. Dave Mundy after the siren win. That was a great memory that I'll always cherish, but no, I think early days I was a little bit unprofessional in the off season. probably drank too many beers and just thought it was going to happen, to be honest, that I'd just go on and have a big career after playing maybe 10 games in my first year. So I just sort of thought it was going to happen and didn't put in the work. And Ross was a mentor of mine, and basically, as you said that if I continue down this path, I'll play maybe 20, 30 games and then be back at Glenelg. So, it was a conversation that needed to be had, and I'm very thankful for him and his guidance and leadership to help me develop into the player that I am.
Well, let's be honest, he was a stickler for the skin folds. He over-exaggerated. He overrated the skin folds, Rossi. Yeah. He was always big on
that. Joey, you wouldn't have got down the race. But enough of that. He's very special. He's a great draft because he dominated in 1 year. He went through the grades. He went through the under-18 comp reserves and then played senior footy and was getting 30 in the SANFL, is my understanding. So he's professional, he's great, it's been an incredible story. But let's get back to what you're all about, trying to win a flag. So what is it with Richmond today you think you need to contain? What are the lessons learnt to get it done against them today, Lockie? What do you think you have to take away from them?
Yeah, talking about us, we've got to be a bit bold with our ball movement. Last time we were here against Melbourne, we weren't very daring. We got stuck going long down the line all the time, so hopefully today you see us be a bit more attacking and try and bring the ball back through the corridor and test their defence out rather than just play into their hands. We know that they love contests down the line, so we want to try and avoid that as much as possible. And then defensively, they try and handle forward a lot, surge forward, get numbers and go. So we've got to be switched on really quick defensive snap and sort of cut that off, come forward, chase from behind.
With that quicker ball movement, is like when the Dockers got back in, it was their half-backs running an overlap. So who off the halfback line's got a really overlap for you guys?
Yeah, I think you've seen probably the last 6 weeks, Kitty Coleman has played a really important role for us, and our ball movement really gets going when he's got the foot in his hand. So we'll try and get the ball into his hands, and like you said, off that halfback flank, try and get those handball receives and then hit up through the middle.
Yep. Lockie, we've seen a resurgence of the tagger this year. Aish did a really good job on Clayton Oliver. If you run around on your own, you should be able to get 25, 30 comfortably in a game. We spoke to Callum Mills on the Sunday Footy Show this morning, asked him the question, who's the hardest player he's played on the last couple of years? Because he goes the big names. And he said you. He said, I couldn't contain Lockie Neal. So when you get tagged, what do you do that's different to other people that Callum Mills has tagged?
Yeah, I think probably as a smaller player, there's not too many my size that I think get a tag. So I think for me, my ground level work and ability to change direction really quickly sort of helps me around contests. Usually it's the bigger boys like Cripps or Jack Steele or Dustin Martin, those guys that get tagged a lot, and maybe they're not as agile once the ball hits the deck. So for me, that's what I try and do, just try and stay on the move,
move through the contest and just keep moving all day, try and get to as many contests as possible.
And Lockie, are you allowed to drop forward? Because what a lot of people don't realise, like, he's really strong overhead and he can find the goal in a shoebox. So he's a real goal kicker. Is that something Fags let you do if you think, oh, I'm not getting the midfield? You're allowed to just go forward and kick a couple of goals? Or
yeah, I think it's something that I probably need to take upon myself a bit more. I usually try and fight it out a bit too much in the midfield and can probably just go and place myself forward and try and get dangerous there. A couple of weeks ago when I had a tag, Fags and Cameron Bruce said, if you want, just go play wherever you want. So I do have that licence and it's something that I probably need to get better
He's
at.
He's a real weapon forward. He's a real weapon.
Well, for Triple M Red Z Lending, Ross, he's the number one clearance player in the forward half of the ground. Lockie, we'll let you get back to preparing for the game. The best of luck today and for the Brownlow medal. You're right up in contention at the end of the year. So thanks for joining us on the Sunday Rub.
No worries. Great good to chat with you guys. Thanks, Ross.
Thanks, Lockie.
It's a good interview. Well,
it was a good interview.
He did clip duck,
but then he basically said we've got to improve our ball movement. Yeah. We've got to get a bit more
aggressive. The last 5 times they've only averaged 50 points at MCG, so you need the lift lock.
Yeah. He put the jab on Duck, but then he didn't follow it up, and then he sort of came back, and then Duck was chest out.
Starcevic, will he get the job on Bolton, do you think, if Bolton goes forward? Has he got enough leg speed? Because he's quick.
He
gets shut down Rankin.
He gets the big jobs. You reckon he might go to Rankin?
Yeah.
Just on the MCG.
He did Rankin last week, so he should do.
On the MCG thing, he said, basically we're not talking about it. But could there be an MCG problem, Ross, that they should be addressing? Like they're not going wider, or they should be going wider. Nah. Are they just completely
No, well, I think they're them and the Dockers are the slowest play on teams in the comp. They're a control of the ball team and they probe, but you can get lost in that. And I like what Fagan said, or so it might have been Jared Helios. When they play here, they've been playing the good teams over the last few years.
That's right.
You play Richmond. You play Brisbane. You play Collingwood. Like, they've been
Melbourne,
pretty good teams.
Yeah.
You're not playing the bottom-ranked teams because it's a home ground of the best teams over the last few years. So I think there's a bit in that. But they can get lost. You can control the ball all day. And we saw St Kilda do it the other week, over 160 marks, or was it at Marvel? And you don't go forward. So possession without penetration is so good. But they've identified it. We need to get some overlap, get it through the middle. Otherwise, Grimes and Vlossen and those guys would just pick us off.
Have a look at what Geelong do now. It's just chalk and cheese now watching them last night.
Oh, they're impressive last night.
Just the way they down the line and that control
gone.
Is just gone now.
Collingwood the same.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
Some blokes are quick, but they can't play.
Triple M rocks footy.
Richmond up against the Brisbane Lions, round 20 from the MCG for the gym. This is the Triple M Sunday Rub, and we're going to go to Jay-Z. He's already had one of his big three. I think number two should be, where is his keyboard? Because that's still missing when he went to Lamaro. Is that they're not sure where he went to after that? But we might put an investigation into that one. But what do you got at number two?
Lamaro, South Melbourne. I will pick it up at some point.
We've got another one of those coming up.
Do we? Oh, boy.
I think we do.
Okay.
When we've got a rub it.
How many mates are you going to invite?
Oh, don't. Oh, don't go there.
I've got a lot of mates.
Don't go there.
But no, I might bring a couple.
Oh, I liked it, Duck.
Thanks. They like you, Ross. That's why they came. They didn't come for those other two bits.
I'm just joking, Duck.
They all wanted to meet Ross. to meet you.
I love the people that something like.
I liked them too.
Everyone's welcome.
They wanted a free food.
We're an open house at Triple M.
They did like you, Brownie.
Brownie did get a bit funny when they started reaching in for the dumplings.
There was one chip taken.
We're just mucking around.
He looked like that call last week. That's how he looked. It was that sort of serious, somber.
Yes. We're just mucking around, Ducks friends. If you're listening, look forward to seeing you next week. Collingwood. I tell you what an extraordinary performance from Collingwood. Every year we see a bit of a fairy tale, don't we? It's been Richmond in the past. We saw Melbourne last year and Collingwood under Craig McRae after finishing second last season. Unbelievable. What are they? Third spot after the siren win last week. They did it again against Port Adelaide. Jack Ginnivan, and we've been talking about this young fella, for about 5 to 6 weeks ago, because we've been arguing that there is clearly a set against him. And I don't know about what you thought, Duck, but was he harshly done by again yesterday?
Yeah, there was probably one there. There's probably one that he should have got. And I did think the problem is that ones that he's not getting, others are still getting. That's the only issue. I think the umpires were pretty good But there was probably one.
There was some inconsistency there. We've been talking about him a lot. It's been hard for him on the field. And then yesterday, speaking with Sarah Jones on Fox Footy, very interestingly, Jack Ginnivan said that it had taken a big toll on his mental health.
It's definitely taken a toll on my mental health and all that stuff, but I'm here happy, smiling. When you're kicking goals and winning, it's beautiful, so can't complain.
Who do you turn to inside the club? Is it the coach? Is it the captain? Who are the boys that have got your back?
Yeah, I've got some strong leaders around me. Darcy Moore, Callum Brown's one of my best mates. He's looking after me. My mum, my family's so amazing. They're up here every week, so I can't complain. Fly, he's a beautiful human. I love him to bits, and he's looking after me day by day, so it's really good.
And the senior coach, Craig McRae, was asked about this after the game, and what a response from a man who is becoming absolutely beloved at the Collingwood Football Club.
See, we're conscious of this. We see him. We try to protect him. We get to a point where we say, I think maybe enough's enough. You know, let's look after this kid. You know, there's creating all these stories, and, you know, again, we got to look at what we can control around that. He's a 9-year-old kid, and he's saying his mental health's been strained. Let's look after him, huh? You know, the way we look at it is you're going to get some right and get some wrong, and Jack keeps putting himself in a situation where, you know, he's a bit of a spotlight for this stuff. This is another great lesson for him and all of us. I thought there was a couple of opportunities that free kicks were not paid potentially, and we just got on with it. You know, you have to. What if it's a grand final? Just get on with it.
How much do you admire the way they're handling this kid internally from what you just heard then, Ross?
Oh, it's fantastic. Like, it's next moment. That's what elite sport is. Next moment, next moment. Nothing, not everything's going to go your way. And to hear Ginnivan speak post-game, I thought that was a wonderful interview. He opened up. He showed vulnerability. And and it's not easy to do when you're an AFL player. He's kicked 32 goals for the year as a small forward. That's elite. I think he's kicked as many as Charlie Cameron. Is that about right?
Yep.
He's elite. It's been unique. The one I saw, I just saw a replay, but I didn't see a lot of that game. But he dropped maybe an inch. Mm. I thought the player still went high. There's a responsibility for the tackler. If we get to the crux and Lee's point, Doug, we want to value winning the ball, right? So you've got to protect the bloke that goes and wins the ball. Now, if he drops an inch, and you know, you can drop. You know he's going to drop, so... Forewarns, forearm, get a bit lower. And don't focus on taking his arms as much. So I think the crux of the game, I don't like the real ducking, but it's been going on for years. This isn't anything new, and you have to adapt. I don't mind the one where they raise their arm, because that's a test of strength. You know it's coming in, and fix your technique. So I understand both sides. It's not binary. It's not black and white, but... The responsibility's got to be on the tackler, not to hit the kid high.
Well, I still think now the responsibility's on the player. I think we've got to change the rule. You think about, we had a rule a few years ago, if you duck with your head, you're going to get penalised. How many players do we now see lead with their head?
A lot.
So you're saying
it's the ball
winner. So I think, because we're saying protect the ball winner, I think we need to protect players from themselves. I think it's changed from, if you have the ball, we've got to protect you, to players have got to, we've got to protect the players from themselves. Mm. And if you're going to put your head in harm's way, like when we changed the rule where you drove with your head, you now get penalised. We did that to protect the player, even though he had the ball.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So I think we're trying to protect the players from themselves. So if you are leaning in and dropping your body weight to engage in the high contact, I'm happy for a few weeks to try and change players' behavior for the longer term benefit.
How about the one he did yesterday? He was standing upright.
Mm. Now, it's not saying they've all been right, and it's not just Ginnivan. I mean, Toby Green did it yesterday as well. He didn't get paid. There's a lot of players that are doing it at the moment that aren't getting rewarded. So, look, there are some that are right, some that are wrong. The decisions, which is like any decision in a game, holding the ball. Some are right, some are wrong. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see it change behaviour, because I did think we get to a point too many players are now utilising the rules to their advantage to get free kicks.
Duck, the big story this week at Collingwood's going to be whether Brody Grundy comes in. He was very good in the VFL yesterday. Mason Cox, your man, the Jack in the Box on the mark, was sort of okay. But if you're Craig McRae, Are you pressing the green button on Brody Grundy to take on Max Gawn in the blockbuster Friday night against the Demons?
Yeah, Cameron was gone. Oh, no, Cameron keeps his spot, no doubt. He's in very good form.
It's Cox.
It's going to be Grundy and Cox. Well, you've sort of stolen my thunder there a little bit. But we'll get to that a little bit later. But Cox does something that no other player in the competition is doing at the moment, which I want to talk to when we have your segment coming up.
But are you playing Grundy?
He's coming in for Cox if that's the case. That's
You'd be playing him against Gawn? And do you think Collingwood's any chance to knock off the Red Hot Demons? Or is this the reality check that's coming?
I tell you what I will say. I think Collingwood play a game style that will challenge the Demons. I think if they can take the game on the way they have.
It's unconventional, isn't it?
Yeah. So for me, that's whether Melbourne can make that adjustment. The way the Bulldogs played against Melbourne the week before, the way they used the footy, the way that it was a little bit lower, they went around Gorn. They went around, you know, they Lever was out in that game, but they used the footy differently when they went forward against them. Now, Lever's back in, so he makes a big difference.
Who used
the Bulldogs 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but they're a control team and lead. I think the chaos would play into Lever and May's hands. They'll hold position, and Collingwood would want to be going quick. They won't be out of the scoring zone like some other teams.
So you think Melbourne will be, I think, Collingwood?
They'll play into May and Lever's hands a little bit if they don't adjust. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Probably not. Should we go third one here, Brownie? Geelong, yes? Geelong Bulldogs last night. You called it, Joey. Duck, you called it outstanding. I mean, how did the Bulldogs get 28 points up, Joey, and then conceded by there. Patrick Dangerfield put on his cape and was outstanding again.
Yeah, Danger was great. It's the same as what it always is with the Western Bulldogs. When they dominate through the midfield and they dominate clearance and they dominate contested possession and they play their game in the front half, they're as good as any team in the comp. As soon as their midfield don't dominate and the opposition have their fair share through the midfield, the defence can't stand up. It's been the case for a while now, and that happened last night.
That's spot on. The numbers don't lie over the course of a year and last year. They're vulnerable defensively. As soon as midfield, and I wouldn't put it down to Dangerfield. I watched it like from quarter time on. I thought he came to the party. He did a couple of things that I jumped out of my seat. That smother, but it was Atkins. It was their small forwards. Stengel was incredible. Their wingers, Isaac Smith, like nice. Cameron and Dangerfield come to. I thought Segler was really good.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was all a lot of their lesser light.
They are relying less on Dangerfield than ever before, which is going to be their key to winning the flags if they win it. It's the reliance less, and then they've all spoken about it, that they're playing even football. It's now Atkins and Guthrie and all the others, and not so much Dangerfield.
Holmes and all those guys. They're all the speed.
Yeah, they're quick.
Yeah.
So they bring in Liam Jones. Does that fix
the Dogs?
Yeah. Does that fix their defensive issues? Because they dropped Keith, Luke Beveridge. We talked about cranky coaches. This is the
band-aid.
Are you serious? He's not even at the club.
Well, this is what I'm asking. It needs a reprogramming of their defence, does it not?
Well, there's just
a lot of water to go under the bridge before we start thinking whether Liam's going to fix the Bulldogs.
Well, they got out the back a lot. So because Geelong hit through the corridor in an overlap, they got out and they turned it over. It's the worst ground in the world for Bulldogs love width and spread the ball, but it's a narrow, we know, 180 metres. But I think I've seen it for too long. Their pressure's not what it was up the field, so therefore their defensive system, because they play quite assertive and then they roll around from the off-ball side, gets caught out more than it should.
We saw the biggest selection call of the week this, Brownie. Beveridge, he's got big kahunas. He dropped Alex Keith, and he was quizzed about it last night. The journalist asked him about the move to drop Keith, and Beveridge bristled.
Can you just take us inside that decision later? Because you caught a lot of people by surprise. Was it something that's been building? Was it
the game? Why did it take you by surprise?
No, it just took a lot of Bulldog supporters by surprise.
How would you know that?
Oh, a lot of talk back callers, a lot of social media. It was one of the interesting
selections. It's the bell curve, though. I mean, the vast majority understand.
Yeah.
And the ones down the end that ring in or make comment on social media are emotional. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did he respond to it?
Terrifically well. Amazing human being, Alex Keith. You know, understands, knows the reasons why no Zane's earned a spot. Even though he's been a little bit sore, he absolutely wanted to play because he knows there's things he needs to work on. And he went to work on him today and he played pretty well.
Interesting, wasn't it? Mm, he bristled.
Yes.
He bristled.
So they had Cordy and Gardner down back. Didn't get the chocolates. It'll be interesting in the defensive adjustments that they clearly need to make for next season.
All right, we've got the quiz up next.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
What an absolute belter!
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
You can now stream every game of Triple M Footy live on the Listener app. Download it now, LISTNR Listener. Choice Hotels around the grounds.
Yeah, it's all the Suns are up by 29 points over West Coast. 4-4-28 West Coast trailing Gold Coast 9-3-57. 8 minutes remaining in the second quarter.
Need a break? Book direct and save at choicehotels.com. Now, Richmond up against the Brisbane Lions, about an hour 13 to advance. We've got plenty more to come in this Sunday rub, but now we're going to do the quiz.
Pot, Palmer, and proving you're smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs Pub Quiz.
Joey's on 8, Duck 3, made a comeback the last couple of weeks. Duck been very good, JZ 2, and Ross is on 1. Let's get straight into it. Have you been paying attention this week? Which Tiger plays his 300th game?
Duck.
That was JJ.
That was Shane Edwards.
JZ goes to 1. Four other Tigers have reached the 300th
game.
Lee.
Bartlett.
Yep.
Francis Burke,
yep.
Jack Dyer, Jack Rewald.
Yes, well done.
Very good.
He's 1.
Did Richo not play 300?
282 he played.
282. One of the great injustices.
Angus Brayshaw signed a contract extension.
Lee. Yes. 6 years.
He certainly did, Lee. Well done.
I thought off.
2-1. Which Saints were ruled out for the season this
Lee.
Week?
Jade Gresham.
Jade Gresham, Lee. Whoa, he's off to a flyer. Just test your buzzer, Duck. Big Johnny Seglett will make his debut for Geelong this week, or he has.
Lee, Hawthorn and Collingwood.
Lee, wow.
Gee whiz.
He's been foxing the last
Do you do anything else by footage?
Joel Selwood played game 350 last night.
Yeah.
Which other Cats have played 350?
That would be Enright.
No.
Ross.
Yes.
Ian Nankervis.
Lee, that's a trick question. None.
Yes, it is a trick question, Joey. 5-1 to none to none. Along with 3 premierships and 3 best and fairest, how many times has Josh Selwood?
4.
Correct.
Ross. 6.
That is correct, Ross. 6.
What's the question?
All Australian.
3 is captain. Mm-hmm. Cryptic name game.
There's only one that's been more captain.
A current Essendon player whose surname is also the name of the rear of legs of animals.
Lee.
JJ.
Duck.
JJ.
Duck. Got me there.
JJ. Brayden Hams.
Ross.
Brayden Ham.
Ross.
Yeah, Duck got it.
Who was it?
Hine.
Because I was thinking Ham and then I'll go.
He's always thinking Edie.
Yeah.
My buzzer's working. Just listen to
I got it.
Yeah, but
a current Richmond player whose surname would complete this sentence. The Butcher, the...
Ross.
No. JJ.
Yeah,
Liam Baker.
Yes, Liam Baker.
How did you not get that right?
Well, I was thinking Candlestick Maker, the Butcher, the Baker, Candlestick the Maker. Yeah, but he said complete, right? So Candlestick Maker comes last. Yep. That's what threw
the
me.
The Butcher, the and the Candlestick Maker. I'll name an AFL player, past or present, in that club. Fraser Gehrig, St Kilda.
JJ.
Start again? What are you
saying? Sorry, interrupted the question.
Duck.
West Coast.
Fraser Gehrig.
Yeah, played full St. forward. Kilda. Played full forward for St Kilda.
Lele. Yeah.
What's his number?
Oh, what's his number?
Yeah.
Oh, it was...
Ross.
Lele.
Ross. 9.
Ross got that. Paul Kelly.
Lele.
Ross.
That was Duck.
14.
That was, I didn't say it loud enough like that.
Mitch Duncan.
Mitch Duncan's 22.
Duck. And Tony Grover.
Ross.
36.
Incorrect.
14.
14 is correct, Ross. Well, no. Anthony Grover was 14. I looked at this sheet and you've got 24. Anthony Grover was 14,
yeah? Yeah. Do your work with
you. Underrated defender, I thought.
Alan Yarkovich.
Lele.
Yes, Lee.
17.
Incorrect.
Duck. He was,
Ross.
Ross.
12.
No.
4.
40.
13.
Was 13,
Alan
that's
Jackovich.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
Renee Kink at Collingwood.
Renee was number. I don't know. I can't remember.
And last one.
Was he 22?
Oh, sorry, 36. Mm. Stephen Stretch, Melbourne.
Oh, Duck. 11.
No.
JJ, 32.
No.
Lele.
Yeah. This is easy.
14?
No.
Ross. 1?
18 for Steven Stretch. Okay. Let's get into general
knowledge. That was an easy one.
Yeah.
He's a very good player.
Which player came second behind Dustin Martin in the North Smithfield voting
Lele.
Two.
Lele.
Yep.
Oh. Bashahuli.
He certainly did, Lele. Well done. Okay. Jonathan Brown has kicked the most goals in history with 594. Who sits second and third on that list at Brisbane?
Duck, Duck. That'd be Bradshaw.
Yep.
And Lynch, I guess.
Well done, Duck. Duck moves to four. Who won Richmond's 2021?
Ross. Short.
Incorrect. Best and fairest. Lele. The year before.
Duck, Duck.
Duck, Duck.
Baker.
Lele.
Incorrect.
Grimes.
Grimes is right. Well done, Joey. The Brisbane Lions famously won back-to-back-to-back premierships from 2001 to 2003. Name the Norm Smith medalist.
Lele.
Lele.
Sean Hart.
Sean Hart was one of them.
Michael Voss.
No.
Ross Ross. Simon Black and Akermanis.
No.
One of them was right.
JJ.
Yep. So
trick
duck,
question.
So Duck, Duck. So it was
Hart
was one.
Yeah.
Black was one.
Yep.
And the other one was Buckley.
Yes, that's right. He was, that's Duck. Well done, question. Duck. Buckley. A couple of trick questions in from Rabsy. The Antoni Grover one hit him down for 24. Okay. Let's have a score.
By the way, shouldn't have.
Joey is on seven. Jay-Z is on two. Duck is on five. Ross is on three. Why?
Because they handed the votes in too early.
Vossi.
And Vossi ended up
for Bucks.
So I was right. Should have been Vossi.
Is that when he took the medal off, didn't he?
Well, I just think
threw it into the crowd.
So they changed it.
Bruce Dool headband style.
For whatever reason, you had to. Yeah. Anyway, oh, don't get me wrong. Bucks was very good, but I just didn't think.
Did you win a Norm Smith?
I was actually the papers gave me the Norm Smith.
But we know we don't believe anything we read in the paper.
Bit like Tom Boyd. What? In hindsight, probably should have.
Arch got it. Who got the other? Hey, so Glenn Freeborn?
So he values that Herald the Journalist.
I thought they get some things right.
Who won the two? Arch and Glenn Freeborn, yeah?
No. Shannon Grant.
Yes.
He played well.
Stiff, Duck.
Okay, I was born on the 16th of April 1978 and I played 270 games for one club. For 4 points, I'm a 3-time Coleman medalist and a 5-time All-Australian. For 3 points, I booted 926 goals.
Oh, that's Lloydy.
Yeah, it is Lloydy. Duck gets three, and he takes the lead. And Duck takes the points today. Well done, Duck. Who do you want to thank? Shannon Grant?
Just hard work.
Just hard work pays off, does it? Okay, we're heading to a break. Rabsy, nice work, Antoni Grover. G'day to him. Number 24. Number 14.
Tony, Antony.
Antony. Yeah. That's what I said.
I thought you said Tony.
Oh, yeah, Antony.
Download the Listener app now to stream every game on Triple M Footy.
He's got some class.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For the gem, this is a Triple M Sunday rub. Brisbane up against Brisbane from the MCG. Round 20 football. You got Jay-Z, you got Duck, you got Ross, you got Lee Montagna, and right now, you've got Itchy Caravan.
On Triple M Sunday rub.
Do it for a caravan.
What?
Caravan.
There's lots of room.
Itching the Caravan.
This was a thing that was going to be sponsored at one point too.
Yeah, it's been a very popular segment. I think a couple of sponsors trying to get on board. They're just trying to sort out which one. Brownie, I think there'll be some late change news too coming up. It'll break shortly, but I got a feeling that Brandon Stasevich will be laid out with quad tightness, replaced in the team by Nakia Cockatoo. When that's made official, Brownie, just...
Is that what you're itching Caravan too?
No, I'm just giving you the late team news before you hear it anywhere else. Now, to try and pep you blokes up, I sort of started the past couple of weeks giving out a few awards for the best hitches, for the worst hitches. And I'm going to get to that first because we're joined by the great man Duck here every Sunday and we love his company. And I'll learn from him because he's the best at so much stuff. Oh. You know, he was the number one footballer. He's the number one firelighter. He was the number one boxer.
He was article writer.
The number one journalist in the country. You were the best special comments man how many times?
Oh, well, I was voted by my peers 3 years in a row.
Three times as well. And so he's basically the best at all this stuff. And then he had his big
didn't say that.
Then he had to climb a ladder, right?
He did. And there was a heights issue.
Exactly.
But even out of that show, Brownie, we found out that Duck is the best listener in the country, right? He's just the best at everything. And I'm like a sponge. I sit next to him every Sunday and I just listen to him. But it's fair to say that Joey on the listening front has got a bit of work to do with his big ears because he sits there in the front left there, Ross, and he curls up like an echidna. It closes.
He's more like a turtle.
He curls up in a ball there and his head goes into his shell in the front left. And so
that's what a turtle does.
Yes, I know. I was explaining it for the can't fool you with what a turtle does. Oh, my God. Anyway, so mid-season, Massimo D'Ambrosio, Gun Bombers youngster, gets picked up by Essendon in the mid-season draft. And, well, nice and early, I did this. I'm going to hitch my caravan. This man has not played an AFL game yet, but Massimo D'Ambrosio, the young man who Essendon took with pick 3 in the mid-season draft, I think looks like a star in the making. And then sure enough, Brownie, 3 or 4 weeks later, our favourite echidna slash turtle over here in the front left-hand corner did this.
I'm hitching my caravan to this new player that's just emerged in the competition in the last 3 weeks, this little Italian stallion named Massimo D'Ambrosio.
Oh, good one.
He has got a rocket of a left leg. I'm hitching my caravan to him early, Jay-Z, that he's going to be a bona fide 200-gamer for the Bombers for a long, long time.
Now, you can't hitch two caravans onto the same car. Like, per car,
it's tough.
It's only one caravan. Duck, so can you take Turt under your wing over here and just get him to, you know, absorb more of your wisdom?
Fair to say I do tune out when you talk. I must admit, so I apologise if I tune out when you sometimes talk. So I think, but we're both wrong because the kid got dropped about 4 weeks and hasn't played since.
Axel broke. Anyway, I'll go first. I want to hitch my caravan to Sam Taylor, the GWS key defender that no one ever talks about. We never bring him up, but he's been in outstanding form and I think he would be a very worthy All-Australian. So Sam Taylor, whilst many of the experts don't give you a lot of recognition, us in the Triple M box here in Melbourne think you're an absolute superstar of the competition. I want to see him in the All-Australian team, Brownie.
So you're hitching him to the All-Australian?
Yep.
You're saying that will happen? That's what hitch your caravan is.
In my caravan view, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, not too bad. I've got a good one. I've got a world first. Okay. I'm going to hitch my caravan.
Done some prep.
I'm going to hitch my caravan to something that I've never seen on the football field before. I want you to have a little bit of a listen to this from yesterday's game.
Look at this. It's going to be the jumping jack in the box.
Oh, no.
Cox gone down on his knees on the mark.
Oh,
and he jumps. He jumps.
Oh, it worked.
And he's put George Deani's off. He's got cramp in his knee. It was a jumping jack in the box I've never seen by the big stalker. Coxie. Oh, boy. A method we haven't seen.
He's high-fiving him. He thinks it's his result.
He's that happy with himself, Mason Cox.
He come out of the ground like a wobbly little gremlin. And he's scared to clap his hand at George Deani.
So I prefer to say BT ran with it. But I've never seen Mason Cox standing on the mark, just
crouching
down, like right down, and then right before the play, it jumps up and
like tricks him.
So tricked them and actually made two players miss. And when they missed, it was like he'd kicked goal of the year.
It was like Dermot when he was strutting around.
He strutted away, like as if to say, he even give it the old no score at one stage. And so I'm hitching my caravan to Mason Cox being the best stand on the mark player in the competition.
How does that tie into the stand rule?
I'd say because maybe, because he jumped.
No, you're allowed to jump.
Oh, okay.
Can't move sideways.
So I'm saying that if Mason Cox has to be a professional, every time someone has a shot at goal, he has to go and do his jack in the box.
He's a professional and stand
on the mark every time someone has a shot at goal.
Professional stand on the marks.
Oh, yeah.
How about when someone just runs around him when he's on his knees?
Professional stand on the mark.
A couple of my opponents should have won Brownlow's for standing on the mark.
Come on, name a name. Give us one.
The Wakelands.
Yeah. No, Dunks wasn't bad at it. There's a few. Simon Prestige. No, I'm only joking. We've all stood on the mark.
Okay. I'm going to hitch my idea. I did a function yesterday at the Williamstown Football Club and I interviewed Ray Chamberlain. So the umpire, he's umpired 300 games now, but he is an entertainer. Mm. I didn't realise how much of an entertainer. We see him out in the ground, but he has just got this personality that blossoms. And it must have been he swore a lot in this program that we did yesterday. I was a bit wondering, there was a lot of old ladies in there, so I was a bit concerned. But I'm going to hitch my caravan to him at some point, being in the media, not as an umpire, but a media performer to get an inside view and also be an entertainer. So whether that's on radio or that's on TV, you mark my words, he will be in the media, not an umpire. So when he finishes umpiring, he will go into the media.
Like it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Because they do that in the NFL with the big calls. They cross to the referees.
That's
right, Joey?
Yeah. Good one, Brownie.
They could do that.
Hey, I'm going to hitch my caravan to, I've got a stat for you, Duck. You know, I like putting my head in the computer and come up with a stat. I've got a good one that I will go with tonight on the crack. But if it is raining in a game and the Fremantle Dockers are playing, I'm hitching my caravan to the team the Dockers are playing against. Because since 2019, Brownie, you can use this on one of your punting shows if you need to do the form and some analysis.
I will.
The Dockers have won 2 of their last 10 games in the wet. Mm. So it's like a horse. If it's a wet track, put a line through them. They cannot win. Friday night, they couldn't get the job done.
Collingwood belted them earlier on in the year.
Melbourne beat them Friday night in the wet. The Dockers struggled to play in the wet. 2 of their last 10 since 2019. So I'm hitching my caravan to whoever they're playing and it's wet, the opposition will win.
Good one.
Thank you, Casey.
Very good.
Well, that's been good. You give me plenty of time to... look, I'm going to go big picture, hitch my caravan.
Go on.
I've never enjoyed watching the game as much as I have this season for a long time.
Is that right?
And I'm hitching my wagon to what's been Steve Hocking and the Stan Rule. And I can't believe the hysteria by some prominent media commentators that's been around early in the year and last year about it, because it has been the most significant change, the simplest change, and the game now flows. I really like it. I'm hitching my wagon for
caravan.
And any of those popular commentators that keep banging on about it, we're going to start going after them.
I've got a second hitch caravan.
Yes.
Now, I spoke about North Melbourne before. So my spies tell me that they've offered, obviously, Alistair Clarkson.
Yep.
And now they're not talking to anybody else at the moment because they want to give Alistair the respect of saying yes or no. Mm. But from my – and it might be a phone call you take or you don't take. You mightn't be interested at all. But I've got good spies to tell me the second phone call
– seconds –
will be to Ross Lyon.
I've read a few times, so I'm used to that.
It's not the first call, but they definitely will put in a call.
Bit like
show.
You on the Sunday morning footy show. From
it is interesting with the Alistair Clarkson situation. Because, like, we all sort of thought he was really into the Tasmania thing, but is the Tasmania thing was just a bit of a furphy? Or, like, remember, he's passionate about the Tassie calls and the Apple Isle, but now he's sort of interviewing clubs and... Well, we think he's not so passionate.
How confident are you that he will coach Kangaroos? Well, do you think he will?
I've been told that he's not enamoured with either of them at the moment. He's looking at both of them thinking, I'm not really sure whether either of them are any good. So it's not,
well,
it's not
that
exactly...
that'll come into the media.
Yeah, it's,
take
not, a,
your
it's not a tantalising prospect either club at the moment. It's going to be a lot of hard work.
There was some strong mail 3 weeks ago that he's looking at whether there's going to be a change at Essendon or Richmond. In months' time.
Yeah, Richmond?
Next season.
Can you explain that to me?
Well,
Is
Dimmer going to stay coach at Richmond forever? Or?
Well, forever's a long time, but hasn't he got a contract?
Yeah.
So, so you're saying he's going to exit before the end of his contract?
Yeah, but so did Mark Harvey.
But what, they're going to sack Dimmer. Brendan Gale's going to sack Dimmer.
You don't know what's around.
Talking about forever.
There's no guarantees in life.
Why don't we have a segment running up the flagpole?
Talking about forever, I know we're not in your new segment, but we've just sort of diverged a little bit.
Yeah.
Dusty Martin, will we see him play, do you think? For the rest, will we see him this year?
The mail, I think there's a big chance we won't see him, Duck, run out for Richmond again. I mean, there's Tigers have been saying he's got a hamstring issue. Whether I think he's also, and understandably and fair enough, still battling with the passing of his father, Shane, I think that is something that the club is still continuing to support him with. And it wouldn't surprise me if it's not until next season that we see the superstar Dustin
Martin. And Ken Hinckley. Will he be at Port Adelaide? Because, gosh, he's been awfully quiet this year.
Well, yeah, let me just run it up the flagpole again. But they've been really adamant that he's the man. I understand the question. I think it's a good question. But they have consistently said, everyone at Port Adelaide, that Ken Hinckley is the man at Port Adelaide.
Well, that's the time to start worrying, Kenny.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, she's a hot footy.
All right, we're going to head down to Richmond assistant coach Andrew McWalter, who got a big job today. The Brisbane Lions got a massive midfield, and welcome to the Sunday Rub. First of all, Shane Edwards, 300 games. What a player he's been for your footy club.
Yeah, good afternoon, boys. Shed has been an incredible player for our footy club. One of the most loved people, players on and off the field. So, been a great contributor, and hopefully we can play well for him today.
Hello, Minnie. Hey, I want to ask about the reviewing of games in recent weeks. Because of all the close losses, has it been challenging as an assistant coach or the coaching group what to review? Because the result doesn't go your way, but you've done a lot right in games. Do you spend too much time focusing on maybe the last 15 minutes or where it's gone wrong? How have you gone about reviewing all these games in recent weeks that you've just sort of let slip?
You're a very clever man, Lee. You're right. It's hard because we have played some pretty good footy for large patches of the game, but ultimately we haven't been able to win the game of footy, and we've made some pretty big errors in the last few minutes, so we've balanced it out. Like, we've still shown and been through what's put us in the position, but we've had to look at some areas that we have to be better at the end of the game.
So, Minnie, you do the midfield, don't you?
Yep.
Can you, like, in analysis, I think last week it was Meatball Presti had dominated, Cochin doing his bit, but no, I looked at the numbers, like Short had 15, yeah. Graham had 11. Is that an area, and even your wingers, I know they can be not high possession, but fifth, Pickett and McIntosh looked okay, but your midfield's going to need to lift here, aren't they, to get this done today?
Yeah, particularly against Brisbane. It's one of their strongest areas. So I think we usually have a pretty even spread through our midfield. We're not a huge high possession team, no. But ultimately, it needs to be a weighted numbers sort of effort.
They're allowed to touch it. Anyway.
Yeah. I think, it's a fair point.
Do you put any time in the Lachie Neal?
Look, probably not to begin with. I think we understand he's going to get the footy regardless of what you do to him. So we'll have some plans around to try and minimise his impact, but it won't be anything hard and strong to start with.
Andrew, the goal kicking has also been an issue. I mean, particularly against North Melbourne, it was woeful. How do you address that? Do you do more shots? Do you talk about routines, or do you just ignore it?
Oh, you don't ignore it. You got to deal with it. You got to practice and put yourself. Look, ultimately the guys are in good position to kick the goal, but they weren't able to execute a few of them. So they just keep practicing their normal routines throughout the week. And I think Xavier Clark and David Teague look after that area, and I'm sure they've spoken about it and done the work during the week.
Minnie, has Marlon Pickett had an underrated season in your eyes? Because you look at the numbers and he's almost rating elite as a wingman, and we're trying to talk about all Australian wingmen and he never gets mentioned, but geez, he's had a pretty good year.
He's been an incredibly important player to us this year. I think particularly, you know, his form the first half of the year was outstanding. He saves a lot of goals for us with his run, a huge runner up and down the wing and very tough in the contest. So he's had a great year for us.
How are you going to handle the intercepts? Like, you got Adams, you got Andrews down there rolling off, and Darcy Gardner, they all dominated last week. So how do you handle that?
Tom Lynch helps.
He's handy.
He's handy. But it's everyone's job. Yeah. Like, we speak about aerial power being any person's job. Lynchy will be involved in a lot of those contests, Jack, but it's going to be a little bit of ball use and a little bit of just when it's your turn, you've got to be able to halve that contest.
Andrew, tell us a little bit about Shane Edwards. Mm. He's obviously playing his 300th game.
Duck's a really good... Hey, Minnie, just so you know, Duck talks how he's a really good listener. He said he listens.
I was out of the box. You know what?
We apologise in advance.
He deserves a double record.
I'm happy to talk about 300 Shane games. Twice.
But, and can you see him going? And will he go on next year?
Look, that's a good question. I'm not sure. Shane's definitely capable of doing that, but ultimately that decision will be to the club. But yeah, we just love him. We love what he brings to our footy club, and he's a tremendous leader too. He's a quiet guy, but he is a great leader.
Andrew, whenever we get a former Ross Lyon protege on an interview, we sort of ask him about how he influenced and shaped you. Obviously, an aspiring coach, and Ross obviously had really helped you in that regard. I mean, we sort of had Matt DeBoer on recently, and he sort of talked about how Ross threw a four-bit hit in one day. And then
we had Lachie Neal.
I told Minnie to stop wearing his moccasins.
I'll tell you a story one day, and this is one of the biggest backhanded compliments I think I ever got. Joey would remember it. Ross called me the best six-possession player he's ever seen. So ultimately he was saying that I was hopeless, but I tried really hard.
Can we talk about underrated role players? Like, yes. Adam Kingsley's being mooted as a senior coach. So McWalter's done it there, the Tigers, in three premierships. He's done the forwards, he's done the mids. I suppose it's not to embarrass Andrew, but I just wonder how other assistants get mooted when others don't. I don't know. What is that, Jake?
It's just sort
Jake
of the,
Clark,
how many friends
me
you've got
mini.
In the media and how much they can pump your tyres up. Okay. So just get around the press box a little bit more, Andrew, and we can sort
well,
of...
Well, I'm pumping him up. I'm going to hitch my caravan to Mini.
Very good. Understated, Mini, but he will be a very good senior coach one day.
Thanks very much for joining us on the Sunday Wrap. Good luck for the Tigers today.
Thanks, boys. Have a good day.
Oh, it's good quite listener. Humorous every time we talk to there's so many people that you've got connections to. Boston, we get a good laugh out of it every time, don't we?
I'm finding that in property as well.
Yeah, I did ask him about Shane Edwards.
I'm such a good listener.
Did I say that to him, Minnie?
Right, you got some more news there, Jay?
Yes, I tell you what, we said that today could be a bit of a cranky coach addition. Ben, we touched on this last week about what's happening at GWS, Joey. Star midfielders on really big pay packets haven't had a great year in the GWS midfield. And Mark McVeigh, who's been doing a good job and who's still the favourite, I think, with Brownie's bookies to become GWS's next coach, didn't Spike absolutely line up some of the Giants after a hammering they copped from Sydney yesterday? Sit down or you have a listen to Mark McVeigh on his own team yesterday.
It's just the unfortunate part of dealing with whether players have checked out or not. And that's as honest as you possibly can be. And you know, if I look at the list, I reckon there was probably eight players that really went to the wall today. You know, you talk about Kelly, Whitfield, Perriman, Taylor, Ward, Hogan, Green and Kennedy. But, you know, eight players doing that's not enough. Yeah, it's always good to hear from the players too. You know, sit in silence for a little bit and see what you can extract. And without going too much into it, we got some good, honest feedback from our peers and players, which is good. Some players spoke up that you don't often hear from, which is what we need at this club going forward. But I'm extremely disappointed with today. We embarrassed our club.
Checked out, embarrassed, sitting in silence.
He did say we embarrassed.
Yeah, but he said eight players turned up. They're saying 15 others
didn't.
How long's he been coach?
5 minutes.
No, that's
2 months. No, see, around nine, Leon Cameron.
Around nine. So what's that, 11 weeks?
Yep.
Long time in footy, isn't it, mate? Yeah. Freed the shackles, this. Now we're checked out. Instinctively, we haven't got time to break this down. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
Why is that?
Because you're individualising the ones that did and then the ones that didn't, and you're distancing yourself. I think there's conversations you have behind closed doors. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
You ever sat in silence, Joey?
Oh, a lot of times, yeah. A lot of times you have those sort of conversations when you've put in a really poor performance. I thought it was surprising as well that he would name individuals. It sounded there when you think about it. He just named the eight leaders, really. Ward and Kennedy, who have been around for a long time.
So he's hitching his caravan to the eight leaders.
Yeah, because I did the game, and I don't think Josh Kelly and Whitfield had any influence at all. As two players that are on massive money, that are highly touted. And they cruised around. Hogan and Toby Green tried hard in the forward line for the supply they had. But it was interesting because then what he's basically doing is he's highlighting the 14 players that he didn't name. And a lot of them were young players and some kids and some guys that are still trying to forge their own career, which I thought was quite surprising that he's basically put them under the bus and elevated eight of the leaders who I think, which what's going wrong with the club, has to come back to a lot of the leaders, not to the younger players.
And, if I dive in a little bit, Doug, and because there's three rounds to go. There's things you often want to say as a senior coach, but you can be too honest. You can't do that to your play group. You go behind closed doors and you challenge, you support and challenge.
Because you'd lose them?
You lose them straight away. What are you thinking if you're one of the... The job is a senior coach. If that's what you're diagnosed, then you got the diagnose. What's the reason they're like that? Now, your job is then to dive in and try to get to that and turn it around. And I don't know how that's being achieved by saying it publicly. I just don't understand. I know he's frustrated. I know he's disappointed. But at the end of the day, you've taken the reins. Herd's there. Solomon's there. It can't be all care and no responsibility. That's my point. And you've got to – there's a responsibility that goes with that. When you put your hand up to take the chair, you can't separate yourself. You're in the chair and you're in that performance. And – I think if he's, look, he probably wouldn't, he's a really strong character and really well respected, and he's saying it what it is, but just saying it, it doesn't mean things are going to shift. It's more nuanced than that. Mm. It's more nuanced than how he's trying to achieve it.
Joey, what's your theory on the GWS coaching position?
Whoever gets the job needs to really galvanise the club. It feels a bit fractured at the moment. There's talk about players leaving. There's talk about, you know, the system and all those things. For me, it does feel like Adam Uzay is probably the candidate, because I reference back to what he's done for Melbourne, particularly with the midfield group when
what
he got there.
That?
Well, they're all big ball winners, Oliver and Viney and Petrarca, and Harms was in there at the time, and Brayshaw. They're all individuals. They're all racking up big numbers and they weren't getting it done. And then Uzay, they all credit with designing a bit of shape around the contest and playing selfless and having different roles, and all of a sudden they've elevated themselves to the best team in the competition. So maybe someone like that who can do the same thing with the Giants midfield might be a good candidate.
Can I tell you what, it's a bit different. I spoke to someone who was very close to in their formation. It, not only got to be an ambassador like Sheedy did, but they had a group. You got to nurture a young group, and it's got to become like a family up there. They brought them together. They did post-matches. They had the parents in. There's more effort going into a club at GWS here. You do all that, but most of the Collingwood players are going to go home to family and friends. Yeah. And you've got up there, it's just you. And if you don't build that club and that fibre, which they did in that first 6 or 7 years, a lot of functions, a lot of families and get-togethers. And
breakfast.
They had the Lamberts, Melissa Lambert, Craig Lambert. They had all of that. It's very unique. And that's the problem with, if you lose that, well, then they just float around Sydney and you're paying them and they're taking their coin. You've got to have something that's bigger than just the contract to keep them.
Triple M rocks footy.
How good has this been?
Hey, Sydney youngster Chad Warner, we've been absolutely lauding him at this season. I think he got tagged yesterday in that game against GWS. Unfortunately, he had
10 touches in the first quarter, then they went to him after quarter time.
Thank you. Some compromising photos, it's fair to say, of him released. There was a bit of an iCloud hack or something like that where he was sort of pictured semi-nude, and then it got into the wrong hands and it's sort of been disseminated on WhatsApp groups and text message form yesterday. Sydney acted quickly, working with authorities to try and delete and erase these images. So very embarrassing for Chad Warner, and the senior coach of the Sydney Swans, John Longmire, spoke about it yesterday.
We're disappointed, obviously, that those images were distributed without his consent, and they're historical. So that's the first instance. And the second instance is that we just support him. He's a good kid, and we just support him, make sure we wrap our arms around him and be there for him.
So he'd be feeling pretty embarrassed, it's fair to say, Chad Warner, but got up and continued playing yesterday. And he's one of the best young players in the competition, Joey. How highly do you rate him?
Oh, absolutely. He's an emerging star of the competition. Plays the way you want as a midfielder. He's tough. He's got wheels to get from inside to outside, uses the ball really well, and hits the scoreboard.
Some injury news out of Collingwood yesterday, Brownie, and this is going to be challenging for them to manage ahead of this blockbuster game. Short turnaround in Melbourne on Friday night at the MCG. Taylor Adams, who is so important to their on-ball shape, has got a groin injury. Could be a couple of weeks. He's got scans this morning. They'll assess that tomorrow, so they could be missing Taylor Adams for a couple of weeks. And Jeremy Howe got a heavy corky in the buttock on the outer side in the third quarter. Got to the point in the fourth quarter where he said to the docs, I can't run, I can't move. So he was finished for the day. Collingwood finished that with a couple of men down. Now, Brett Ratten, we speak about cranky coaches last night. St Kilda got the job done over Hawthorne. I don't think it was a game of the year sort of stuff, but Brett Ratten after the match was a bit unhappy with some of the negativity in some of the questions he was asked, and really sort of bristled a bit like Luke Beveridge in the press conference after the match.
Well, probably everyone that speaks about us speaks about half empty every time we speak to somebody. We're not going so well, we don't do this, we don't do that. We won the game of footy. We didn't play the game for four quarters how we wanted to. We took 4 points, we won contested ball. We didn't win the inside 50s, we had 25 shots at goal, but everyone can keep looking at how negative the Saints are and what the Saints are doing. We won a game of footy, so I think it would be nice for people to sort of say, yeah, well done, for a change. I just hear it a fair bit about the Saints, you know, easy target. Yeah, but we know we haven't played our best footy through the year, but so has other clubs too. And we've won 11 games, and we put ourselves in a position to maybe play finals, maybe not. I don't know what the future holds for us, but, you know, I just think we always look at it from a more half-empty, glass-half-empty view than maybe, you know, thinking a bit more about some of the positives that this club brings.
Do you agree with that, Joey?
Interesting
comment. Are you one of those ex-players that every time they're not going so well, that he's aiming this at?
Maybe. I don't know, because interesting, I don't think there was half glass empty when they were 8-3 at the halfway mark, and we were talking about them being a top four side, and half their wins had come from trailing at half time, and they'd showed resilience to fight their way back. And then before that game against the Hawks, they'd won two of their last seven. So I presume there would be more half glass empty off the back of where they'd come from at the start of the season. So it's interesting the way that he did bristle at that. I'm not sure whether he's feeling a bit of pressure.
I don't think he needed the bristle. I just think that you didn't even need to give that oxygen because they've had some pretty poor performances.
But the West Coast win the week before was pretty unconvincing.
7 weeks they've beaten.
Well, they were 9-2 at the halfway mark.
8-3.
They've beaten Hawthorn, which is nothing to rave home about. They're in the bottom five. They're going to be a good side. But there's been some games this year where they've not turned their toes up, but you look at them and you go, what are you doing? You're like, Witches Hats out there, the Essendon game. There was one other one they played at Marvel where you thought, where are they going?
Well, they had 150 uncontested marks and went nowhere.
And that's what people are talking about. It was might have been the Fremantle game. That's what people are talking about. And that's not glass half. That's just making a comment that they're not where they need to be, and we expect them to be better on the back of a really good start.
And ask Brett Ratney, ask the Western Bulldogs if they copped it, if Essendon copped it, have other teams that are outside the eight copped it this year? Oh, well, you know, at times we're not playing well. Have Richmond.
Been more positive about it at 8-3. I was like, Saints fans get excited, this level of commitment and pressure, and they were scoring and they were running. And look, I don't think they've got a deep list at all. I think key personnel out, like Dougal Howard, and teams have worked them out a little bit. I don't mind the let them against us mentality, by the way, for what he's got in front of him to galvanise them, but it was basically inaccurate.
It's unusual to see that sort of level of sensitivity in a coach, because normally I've sat in hundreds of those press conferences. This is what you hear. You guys write whatever you want. I don't mind. We're doing this. Not Brett Ratten then said,
can we get a well done?
You guys aren't patting us on the back.
Yeah.
What?
Did you make of it?
No, I actually haven't heard it before. Not like that. Like, sometimes coaches can be combative. But he was almost sensitive in saying, well, you guys aren't talking us up enough. Why are you asking me that negative question?
He's a hard-on-the-sleeve guy. We love Rats. Like, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's emotional.
A bit emotive.
Well, they dominated for three quarters and almost lost, you know.
Yeah.
I think he's done a good job with them. There was no one under more pressure than Brett Ratten and St Kilda at the start of the year. And they were 8-3. And you've got to write your own story. But what have they won? Three out of the last
eight.
So they're 3-5.
So to back up what we're all thinking, the problem is they got off to that good a start. And they played such good, positive, exciting footy that we said, okay, now that's their new limit.
Yeah,
that's what we judge them on. And then they've dropped away from that. But if you so take away the good start and then now the poor Joey last 8 weeks,
if we said it round 9 and they're in the eight, we'd be saying, oh, Saints are doing pretty well.
You would.
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah.
Saints, what the
Pens. Fremantle's a bit similar. They set themselves a benchmark at the start of the year, and they've dropped off last 7 or 8 weeks, and they're now probably going to finish in the bottom half of the eight. They don't have the ball movement they had at the start of the year. They don't have the pressure they had at the start of the year.
It's
similar. I don't hear Justin Longmuir complaining about that at the moment.
It was interesting. Certainly caught my attention. Now, speaking about the coaching race, Don Pike doing a very good job as assistant coach there at Sydney, has been discussed as a very serious candidate in the GWS race. He was asked yesterday on Triple M in his interest in the Giants job, and particularly the North Melbourne job, and he said on the record that he's had informal discussions there with the Giants, so his hand is clearly up for that one. Hasn't yet spoken to North Melbourne. So it does seem like they're zeroing in on Alistair Clarkson. And then from there, they will work out their next best options. Does anyone in the box think that Clarko's going to take this Kangaroos job, Duck? 20 seconds.
Oh, look, I'm not sure.
I do. I'll put my hand. I think he'll coach Kangaroos.
Yep.
I hope he does. I really do. I've said that already a million times.
So Ricky Ponting's going to go have a chat with him. You're going to go have a chat with him?
With who?
Clarko.
What good is that going to do? He wants to coach him.
Oh, we're going to head to a break.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.